Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Jersey Coastal Live. I'm Andrea Tarr. Today, we're talking all about food. Recently, the Summer Fancy Food Show took place in New York at the Javits Center, and this is always an amazing event. And with me was Chef Rachel Weston, who was a guest on Jersey Coastal Live a little while ago. And she went her way, I went my way. We really came back with lots of interesting goodies, really lots of goodies, bagfuls of stuff to eat and drink and, you know, share with friends. Rachel will have to tell us if she shared anything or she kept it all to herself. But, Rachel, thanks for being with me.
Thank you so much for having me again, Andrea.
My pleasure. And just as a point of reference, again, you're going to explain a little bit about what the Fancy Food Show is, but I do want to let people know that what I found fascinating about this, it's in the Javits Center in New York, so you know it's in an enormous location. But there were 2,600 specialty food companies at the show. That's a lot of companies, and they represented 50 countries. So this is truly an international event. And this show had over 22,000 attendees. The show takes place over 3 days. It was just really an amazing event. Amazing in terms of, you know, just the sheer volume of what you're exposed to. And there were a lot of trends that you get to see there, and the trends really translate into what you're going to find in the stores, you know, a couple months down the road. And some of the trends that we'll talk about more, but they included ultra-spicy condiments, all kinds of flavored gazpachos, beets, and I'm not a giant fan of beets, but I must say they appeared in many different products. Booze-infused products, and one of my favorites was in a maple syrup, lots of fermented foods, popcorn, and lots of coconut kinds of products. I mean, that's just a smattering of what was there, just a smattering. So, Rachel, first, let's get started. Maybe explain a little bit what's the Fancy Food Show and the Specialty Food Association.
Well, the Fancy Food Show is a trade show that is run by the Specialty Food Association. It's been an association since the 50s, and they provide, it's like a not-for-profit trade association for manufacturers, purveyors, entrepreneurs who have small food businesses. So it's a way to support them. And they have a summer show in New York City, and they also have a winter show in California. So mm-hmm. The products that are shown here in New York may not necessarily be the same as the ones in California. There may be some overlap. But it's a really exciting time for anybody that's in the food business. If you're a retailer, if you're looking for trends and creating your own products, there's people on the floor that are there looking to see what to do for a product that they're themselves developing mm-hmm. at the moment. It's just a great scene. It's overwhelming, like you said. There's so much to see, and it is hard to get it in all in one day. So you seem to like to go more than one day. I usually go once out of the 3 days, but you just try to pack mm-hmm. in as much, pace yourself with the sampling as much as you can, because there's a lot of stuff to eat and a lot of great people to talk to.
Yeah, that's why this year I was there for 2 days, and I think next year it has to be 3 days, because they're just the sheer volume of what's there, and it is hard to pace yourself because you're continually eating after a while. Oh my God, you know, it's hard to distinguish one thing from the other, but it's just an amazing assortment of stuff that you wouldn't normally, under other circumstances, get to be exposed to all of these vendors, because, of course, they are from, forgetting just all around the U.S., but all around the world. I would say a lot of things that regional products that I was not even familiar with. I mean, what about you?
I think there's definitely some regional products, even some products like there's cookie companies or ice cream companies that mm-hmm. are produced regionally that just aren't getting distributed into our region yet, but they're coming to the show every year and trying to get distribution, and I really wish some of them would get to our area, because there's some things like the Grey Goat Bakery. I love their cookies. You really can't readily get them here. You have to order them online. McConnell's Ice Cream out of California, some of the best ice cream that I've had ever. It's hard to get that here on the East Coast.
Well, one great thing about meeting all of these vendors, of course, the internet makes shopping a little bit easier. You know, maybe we can't get to a lot of these states to, you know, just run out and pick up their goodies, but everyone has a website, and it's easy enough to just go online and place your order with your credit card, and it'll be shipped right to your house. So that's a great thing. But living here in New Jersey, of course, one of the questions that I asked a lot of the vendors is, so where can I buy this product in New Jersey? Now, some of the things weren't available, but King Supermarket, which is a very high-end supermarket, not in Monmouth County where we're located, but there are other Kings in, I want to say, North Jersey. King's is great as far as artisanal food products. They're a big supporter. And Whole Foods, and also Sickles Markets, and some other smaller places. I mean, obviously, if you go to their websites, you will find out where you can buy it locally, if it's available. But again, you know, the internet is out there, and you just go online, and you buy whatever you want, right? It's easy.
Yeah, absolutely. And if there's a product that you're really interested in, you should always talk to the store manager at a store and let them know that you're interested in it and would like to see it in the store, and maybe they'll place an order for you.
So let's talk about some of our favorite stuff. There's so many, but I'll let you go first. What do you want to give a shout out to?
Well, I want to give a shout out to the my most favorite thing that I saw at the show was a company called Salt and Flint. They're from Kansas, and they make some really wonderful caramels, shrub cocktail syrups, and French lavender caramel sauce. It was just really beautiful packaging, really wonderful flavors. You know, honey with bee pollen and rosemary cashew caramels, things that you're not seeing, way beyond the usual suspects, the sea salt, that kind of thing. And the shrub cocktail syrups, I think, are right on trend right now. Beautiful bottles of these delicious syrups that you can add to, say, a spritzer or as use a cocktail base. So that was something that I really really enjoyed, and I've been telling a lot of the people that I know that own specialty food stores to try to put them into their shop this year.
Rachel, just explain what it means, a shrub cocktail syrup, because that was not a phrase that I was familiar with.
Well, a shrub, it goes back to kind of like colonial times. It's basically a great way to preserve fruity flavors. So you might take something, say, raspberries, and put it with some sugar, some vinegar, and it's basically a way to preserve it, and it's concentrated, and then you can use that to make yourself a nice refreshing drink any time of the year.
So what you have is just a very concentrated liquid with a certain flavor.
Right. So, and it could be any kind of combination. So this company has strawberry basil, mango jalapeno, pineapple cilantro, and beet, which was one of the flavors that is on that trend list.
Yeah.
They have a beet lemon flavor. That was so good. Who would think that you'd want to drink a beet spritzer or a beet cocktail?
I know.
But after sipping
this,
I definitely would.
Beet and lemon. I mean, seriously, that's a mad scientist at work there, putting that together. Never in a million years would I think about that. But
it's stuff being made in Kansas.
In Kansas, right.
Yes.
Yeah. So let me also mention that I'll make sure when I do my blog later on that I'll put links to some of the places that we mentioned today, so that if anyone is interested, you'll be able to go check this out for yourself, because really it's totally worthwhile, really. So what else did you love?
Oh, geez. I ate so many cocktail-type things, I have to say, that I think we both fell into a serious case of like, if not love, with Port Morris Distillery.
Port Morris Distillery. Oh, my God. Now, I just want to say that they are going to be a guest on Jersey Coastal Live a little bit down the road. You know, Rachel, this particular fancy food show, for me, was the most booze-infused show I went to. In that there really was a lot of great stuff to drink. But go ahead, Port Morris Distillery. Definitely.
Well, I think that cocktail culture is really growing in the past, you know, even 5 years or so. So there's more companies that are having bitters. The Hella bitters were there, and they weren't using their bitters in cocktails when they're tasting. They were actually putting them onto iced coffee, cold brewed coffee. So it really shows how these products are becoming really more mainstream and versatile, and then kind of being used in different applications than they were even intended to be used in. So I definitely see that cocktail culture just growing and getting more and more exciting.
I do like unexpected uses of an ingredient that you're used to see. Well, like beets, obviously. You know, you're used to seeing something used a certain way. So when it's unexpected, beets and lemon, for example, I think that's kind of a cool thing. And it really does show you the versatility of the food. But again, the genius of the person who put it together. Yeah.
Yeah, so who comes up with these flavor
coffee
profiles.
I know. Now, water is certainly having a moment, probably more than a moment, right? Honey water, watermelon water, coconut water.
Maple water.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Of course, we're moving away from soda, that's true. But what are we drinking instead? We're drinking all kinds of interesting little concoctions. And watermelon water, that was delicious.
Oh, it's terrific. It's just like a sip of summer. It's super juicy, refreshing. You can actually taste the green portion of the watermelon, I think, in the watermelon water, which is really, I think, a very refreshing taste that is beyond the sweetness that you get from the flesh.
Extremely refreshing. And H2 Melon was one of the companies that I tried their watermelon water. That sounds very redundant, but they are actually based out of Manhattan. But that was honestly so refreshing, in a different kind of refreshing than water. Very different, but delicious. Did you try the honey water?
I didn't try the honey water. It's really, you know, it's really funny that when you go to the show and you're there with someone else and you feel like, I felt like I saw everything. And then when I regrouped with you, and then I felt like, oh my gosh, I didn't see everything. I didn't taste that. I missed that. And I probably spent too much time flirting with the, you know, sausage guys or the, you know, cheese vendors and didn't spend enough time tasting honey water.
Well, that's how I felt after I talked to you. We both had different experiences. Some things we both saw, like, of course, Port Morris Distillery, but a lot of things you had that I didn't have and vice versa. But that's the whole point, is that the sheer volume, it's hard to get to everything. And in fact, you went to a whole section that I never even got to. But that's why next year, 3 days. But the honey water was delicious, a different taste, very different than, not, I won't say not refreshing, but the watermelon water was really just a burst of fruit in your mouth. The honey water had a different feel to it, but also delicious, and again, a very strong taste of honey. This is one particular one. It was called Bee's Water. Heavenly Health in a Bottle, really delicious. And again, in different flavors. They had lemon, orange, and cinnamon. So very unusual. I really loved it. Sweetened with only honey. There's no sugar in it, but a very delicious flavor. And, you know,
that's
that was
probably
another
really
thing,
good
Rachel,
to fend off colds.
Maybe, yeah. What could be bad? It's honey. We saw so many things that were paleo style, and I can't say that I know a lot about the whole paleo diet plan, but naturally organic, non-GMO, all natural, whatever that means, but also a lot of companies had their, or were getting their, halal and kosher certification, and I guess that's just, you know, a sign of the times, right, that people want to do that.
Now, so many more people have specialized diets, I think. They're vegetarian, they're vegan, they're gluten-free, they're paleo, kosher, you know, halal. So I think it's just better to, I guess, for the companies to label things. But it is, I find it rather amusing sometimes to see something when they say, you know, say it's beef jerky and they say it's gluten-free. And it's like, oh, yeah, it's meat.
Exactly.
But that's...
Well, we should also mention, well, clearly beef jerky was having a moment. There was way more beef jerky than I imagined there could ever be. And everything from your standard beef jerky variety right up to the very, very gourmet variety using Angus beef.
And there was other meats, too. There was lamb, turkey, chicken, bison, a lot of different kinds of meats that are being treated with really interesting flavors, spicy and sweet and all different kinds of toppings on those jerkies. And that is something that is being definitely pushed as a paleo snack option.
It just sounds funny to me, but yeah. Now let's talk about ice cream, because who doesn't love ice cream? My favorite ice cream is Grater's Ice Cream, and they are originally from Ohio, Cincinnati, and now they have made their way to the East Coast, and they are available locally, but it was the first time I saw them there at the Fancy Food Show. But, of course, Rachel, there was ice cream everywhere, ice creams and gelatos.
Lots of ice cream. Last year,
yes.
I went and I was working on a month-long series of ice cream stories, so I ate so much ice cream last year.
Yeah.
And this year, I really kind of dialed back on the ice cream that I tried, but I did stop by McConnell's because I love their Turkish coffee ice cream. And I stopped by the Jenny's Splendid Ice Cream, which is based in Ohio. And
yes.
To me, that was one of the most powerful kind of interchanges that I had at the show, because Jenny's has gone through a really trying couple months. They had to shut down their production line because they had found some listeria in the line. Probably cost the company over $2 million in getting this right. So they were at the show with an empty booth. No product,
yeah.
just the founders of the company there to talk to people, to continue to build their relationships. And I was moved. I mean, I had tears in my eyes as I was talking to them, because it's just, you know, to think about how hard it is to put your heart and your soul into building this business and then have something so kind of terribly wrong happen, and for them to say, you know what, this is happening, we're going to fix it, we're going to be transparent, to me, that makes me like a customer for life.
Yeah, and they still wanted to have a presence at the food show, which is no small feat to do that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, I must say, where you said you dialed back on your intake of ice cream, I probably ratcheted it up 10 notches, because there was so many interesting flavors to try. And that was one of the trending things, too, ice cream with unusual flavors. You know, we're not talking chocolate and vanilla here. We're talking lavender ice cream, just unusual flavors. To me, that was really a wonderful, wonderful treat. Gelato, oh, God, I could go to the ice cream. Next time you do a show on ice cream, let me know.
I think I made up for it in the charcuterie and cheese areas, though. So I just kind of transferred those calories to that direction.
Those are two huge areas. I mean, again, cheese from all around the world and every kind of meat that you can imagine. I mean, a lot of, you know, good stuff from the U.S., you know, bacon, Virginia ham, all that sort of thing. But what were some of the outstanding things that you had in that category?
I stopped by and talked to Olympia Provisions out of Washington State and had some of their sausage. They had, I kind of chatted with them a little bit about, they had to change their name recently from Olympic Provisions to Olympia Provisions after the Olympic Committee decided they didn't like them being named that. So it's really interesting for me to kind of just go and talk business a little bit, in addition to the tasting. So I had heard that was going on, and I wanted to talk to them and see, you know, how do you deal with that? And they're dealing with it, and they're moving on, and their product is great, and that's all that matters.
That is all that matters. Yeah, that is all that matters. Well, let's see. one of the things that I found really great was, and speaking of booze infused, you know, because there was a lot of use of, you know, different kinds of booze and products. Well, excuse me, there was a maple, Bissell Maple Farm, and they are in Rock Creek, Ohio. And I got to meet Nate Bissell, who's the owner. And what they had is bourbon-infused maple syrup. Now, honestly, I'm not really a fan of maple syrup. I don't use it for anything. But I just had to taste it because it was bourbon-infused. And honestly, delicious. You could just drink it. It was that good. And what was interesting, and I never think of Ohio for maple syrup, but what they do is they're a little bit north of Kentucky, and they go to the distilleries in Kentucky, and they pick up the old barrels that had, you know, whiskey was aged in it. And so they age, they store their maple syrup in these whiskey barrels, and all the wonderful booze gets infused right into their syrup. So it's very unusual, and it's delicious. That was a good one for me.
I didn't try that, but I did stop by Crown Maple. And I do like to cook with maple syrup, and I've been having a hard time finding grade B maple syrup, which is what I typically would want to buy to cook with. And the reason why I found out is because now there's a new grading system. So they don't have grade B anymore. They have all maple syrups now are grade A, but they have golden, amber, dark, and very dark kind of grades of grade A. So that was an aha moment for me. Oh, okay. So now I can stop just running by all the grade A. I'm looking, you know, I need to look for a grade A, very dark, for what I want, for when I, you know, make my baked goods and things like that.
Well, we should also mention for Crown Maple Syrup, and they describe it as very dark color and strong maple taste, which I'm sure it was. But they were one of the winners in the at the Fancy Food Show. There are, Softie Awards? Sophie Awards, sorry, the Sophie Awards, right, at the end for, you know, the best of the best in various categories. And so they were one of the winners, Crown Maple. So that was one of the delicious things. I didn't get to taste that. I know, we have to have a redo on all this. But I will tell you my absolute favorite thing that I had there. I do love chocolate, and there was a lot of chocolate there, as you know, lots and lots of chocolate. And before I even mention my favorite, what is the thing that we both love? Rachel, it's the one with the toffee.
Oh, with Lori and Sons, the black licorice, and robed in chocolate. That was really, really good. I'm a big licorice lover, and to have it kind of drenched in chocolate, it was great. And I talked to one of the sons from the company, and he told me that they tried to find the balance, which would be enough for people who don't care for licorice but still might like it, and enough for people who really do like black licorice. So I think that they struck a nice balance, and I would definitely look for that product. And they produce in Harlem.
Now, they definitely I would have never thought of licorice and chocolate going together. Again, delicious. And I love the name, too. It's Dangerously Delicious Black Licorice Chocolate Toffee. It's killer. That's all I can say. And they were a winner as well in the awards. Yeah. They were absolutely delicious. Again, we'll put up websites. But now, for me, my favorite thing was something called Sin in a Tin. And first of all, it was chocolate. And the company describes it as a chocolate pâté. So it literally comes in a small tin. And again, gluten-free, all of that sort of thing. But absolutely delicious, Sin in a Tin. I think just the name alone makes it extra decadent. They are from Florida, as I recall, and totally delicious. You could eat it warm, you could have it cold, you could slice it, or you can just eat it with a spoon and, you know, who cares. It comes in an 8-ounce tin. It's fantastic. So Sin in a Tin.
And that, again, is one of the things that I missed. I missed out on getting my dose of Sin. I had to make up for
it really was,
by eating a lot of, you know, duck liver mousse and pate on the other side of the show.
Well, then you did have plenty of sin, yes.
Yeah, and I definitely got my dose. I was over at Alexi and Pate, which is based in here in my hometown, Neptune, and got to taste some of their wonderful pates and mousses and things like that that they make. So I think I got my sin on. I think I did an okay job with the sin.
Yeah, I would say you did. Now, I have to give a little shout-out to Matt Galera from the Atlantic Avenue Company. And he makes an artisanal red sauce. And I met him at the show last year. And he was just in Zagat did a story on 30 under 30. And Matt Galera was in that category. And I was really very proud of him. And I was excited because when we met him at the food show, I mean, he literally had just launched his business. And now he's just doing very, very well. And, you know, that's another thing that there was a lot of at the Fancy Food Show was red sauce, all kinds of sauces, actually.
Yeah, it's a kind of a crowded market, but there were definitely some there. The Bon Jovi family was there with their line, and there was another line that was there that was also from New Jersey that was two sisters, I believe. I'm not sure the name of their company.
Rendazza, that was one of them. They were from New Jersey.
So, you know, there's lots of red sauce going on in New Jersey, and there, it seems like there's room for everybody's recipe. Everybody thinks their mother's recipe. Oh, here it is, Jar Goods. And
okay,
they make spicy
goods.
Vodka,
yeah.
classic vodka, and classic red sauces.
There was just so many wonderful edibles that, you know, I had crab pie and lobster pie and lobster mac and cheese, and my head could explode just thinking about all the different things that I had. Everything is just so delicious, and you know, not everything is for everybody, but you know, again, this is just such an amazing opportunity to meet the vendors and to find out what's on trend. What are you going to find in the market coming down the road? So I guess we have to kind of wait and see what's going to be out there.
Yeah, and I definitely love to cook. Home cooking is what I am most passionate about. But there are some times I'll see products that I really like that are, kind of helpers. So there was a couple sauce lines that I really liked. There was a sauce line called Kitchens of Africa that had really great flavors. There was also a sauce from Thailand, a husband and wife team called Apinya Thai Food. And they had a great, like, a pumpkin curry sauce. These are the kinds of things that I would totally not feel any qualms about having in my pantry and, you know, making a great meal, you know, in minutes, letting them do the hard work and supporting a small business. So those were great things. And then also there was a whole line of prepared soups, and especially gazpachos that were in jars. That were so good. I mean, I guess it was because it's so hot at the show. It's, you know, the summer. So that kind of stuff, like the watermelon water, these chilled gazpacho soups, they just really are refreshing when you're at the show and you find something that's cold and fruity and
cold and delicious
and savory.
Yeah. Another company that I'll describe, I like your description, Rachel, a helper sauce. Another company that had a lot of those wonderful ones was someone called Fisher and Wiser. They also, just so many delicious things. They're out of Fredericksburg, Texas. We are actually almost out of time, but I am going to put links up on my blog so that if people are interested, you'll be able to see for yourself. So, Rachel, it was a great event at the Fancy Food Show. I'm so happy that we got to go. And I'm already looking forward to next year, 3 days. But I do want to say that the people from Bissell Maple Farms are going to be on my show, and the owners from the Port Morris Distillery, they will be on my show as well. So I'm very much looking forward to that. So Rachel,
that's great.
Chef, advisor, educator, all things culinary, thanks for being with me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. All right, listeners, can 30 minutes change your life? Maybe it can. So please keep listening to Jersey Coastal Live. Until next time, I'm Andrea Tarr. Thanks for being with me today. Thank you, Rachel. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.